WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, July 12th, 2016, and we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. Throughout this 60 minutes, we will have a hot, sizzling hot show as we will, of course, update you on what took place this past weekend here in East Lansing, Michigan, concerning former Michigan State hoop star, now member of the Golden State Warriors, Mr. Draymond Green, who was arrested due to assault. We'll have that story for you, an update on that one, I should say. Also, we'll talk about the Detroit Tigers as they limp into the All-Star break. The All-Star game takes place tonight. And hey, how about that home run derby last night out in San Diego, California? So we'll recap the Tigers, also the home run derby. We'll even give the Tigers a first half grade. And trust me, my grade is not that good. All right. Also, Steph Curry is charging a ton of money for a kids basketball camp. He's getting a lot of flack over that one. And we will have Tickle Tuesday for you and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. Probably got it on speed dial. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, or you can even go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. So much to talk about, so little time, so let's stop wasting it, all right? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, to start off, as we know, Golden State Warrior and former Michigan State hoop star Draymond Green was arrested on Michigan State's campus Sunday morning at 2:28 a.m. Now, East Lansing police arrested Green on a misdemeanor assault charge and battery charge. He was released on a $200 bond and is scheduled for arraignment on July 20th. Now, Lieutenant Scott Rigglesworth from the East Lansing Police Department, he told ESPN that he couldn't confirm whether the assault was a punch or a slap, but he said it was, quote, not a shove, end quote. He also said police were not called to the scene, but were already there as part of their normal patrol. This, of course, happened right next to Conrad's Grill, located in downtown East Lansing. In a statement, the Warriors said they are, quote, aware of the news involving Green. All right, right now, we also invite to the show to help me out with these headliners, Current Sports production assistant Bria Thompson, who has news concerning Ariel Powers. Bria.
Ariel Powers has been selected to join the USA Select team. The Michigan State alum and now member of the WNBA, I'm sorry, Ariel, Dallas Wings will be training alongside the USA Women's National Team July 23rd to the 24th in Los Angeles. Their first exhibition game will be July 25th at USC.
Congratulations to Powers. That's big news. All right, 49-year-old Jim Burns walked 600 miles, count them, from Philadelphia to Michigan's football stadium out in Ann Arbor, also known as the Big House, in honor of the campaign Chad Tough. Now, Chad Carr was the grandson of former U of M head football coach Lloyd Carr. Chad passed away last year due to an inoperable brain tumor. He was only 5 when he passed away, but he inspired many U of M students, alum, just the entire U of M community, folks, and beyond. Now, over 1 million steps, Burns wanted to raise money and awareness for the Chad Tough campaign. And we were supposed to have Jim on today's show. We're still going to try it throughout this hour, but if not, hey, still going to be a hot one. All right, Bria.
Uh-oh.
Oh, actually, that's on me. Giancarlo Stanton, get this, folks, the 2016 MLB Home Run Derby, the first player in Miami Marlins history to win the Home Run Derby title. Stanton hit a record 61 homers in the 3-round competition. He also set a record for the longest home run of 497 feet and highest exit velocity of 120.4 miles per hour. Who is tracking that stat? All right, now, Bria.
Derek Jeter has tied the knot. Longtime supermodel girlfriend Hannah Davis and Jeter had been dating since 2012. Last November, Jeter confirmed their engagement on his Player Tribune website. A small wedding of less than 100 guests, Jeter and Davis held their ceremony on a golf course at the Meadowood Napa Valley Resort in St. Helena. So, congratulations to you guys.
Isn't that sweet? Love is in the air, folks. All right. Head men's rowing coach in Western Michigan has been, his name is Timothy Vallier, actually. He was arrested on Friday after the Rockford Public School District reported that they had found a device, a camera actually, containing images of girls changing their clothes. Sad stuff there. He is being jailed on a $100,000 bond and is being charged with child sexual abuse activity and using a computer to commit a crime. All right, Miko Grimes, wife of Brent Grimes, continues to blast the Miami Dolphins. In an extended rant on Twitter, Grimes continued her assault on the Dolphins, criticizing quarterback Ryan Tannehill, owner Stephen Ross, and vice president of football operations Mike Tannenbaum. Now, the rant began as a question of the relative basketball merits of Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. An odd rant, folks. Miko eventually compared Kobe Bryant fans to Ryan Tannehill fans. Quote, both are super stupid, but at least Kobe was a baller, Miko Grimes said. Tannehill is a bum, end quote. She then took a five-hour break before returning to her laptop with this, quote, the Dolphins bleeping stink. They will never be great as long as Stephen Ross is the owner. Tannenbaum is the GM, and Tannehill is the QB, end quote. Brent Grimes was released by the Dolphins last year. Miko, can you chill out? My goodness, I feel like every other day I'm talking about a Miko Grimes tweet. And in another crazy story, Bria.
Last week, Golden State Warriors star Stephen Curry, 28, surprised the youngsters at his basketball camp in Hawaii by knocking on the doors and yelling, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies, guys. The team posted a video of one boy opening the door and falling to the floor after seeing his idol. But the smiles turned to frowns when they viewed the cost of Curry's basketball camps, which was revealed to be a staggering $2,000 per kid. The price could go as harsh as $2,250 for children to be fed gourmet meals rather than fast food. Curry responded to the circumstances by promoting his brother's Steph Curry's basketball camps at Vitruda College on July 30th. Steph noted that little bro's camp is only $200 to attend.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, Steph Curry is actually Steph's brother. And $2,000 per kid is Steph Curry's basketball camp. We'll have more on that and so much more. Call in, folks, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will be discussing the Draymond Green arrest, the Detroit Tigers after a dismal first half in the MLB, Tickle Tuesday, and more. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Tennessee.
There it is. There it is.
Oh. Giancarlo, 61 home runs, the most ever in a single home run derby. How?
Just keep going. Keep the endurance. The fans helped me out. The both teams helped me out. So it was a great time. I had a blast.
Some fans may not know that you're not in the National League team this year. You're not going to be here for the All-Star game. You came here just to participate in the Home Run Derby. Why?
See this bad boy? Well, that's why I came here, and I'm taking it with me.
You had family. You're from just the Los Angeles area, so they were able to come down. What did they tell you going in?
Well, just to have them here in an easy drive. They didn't have to fly in or anything, and it was last minute as well. So just have fun, smile, enjoy the moment, and enjoy the West Coast. That's where I'm from.
All right, now let's talk a little bit Marlins. You guys are playing some pretty good ball right now. What can we expect?
Well, we got to keep the ball rolling. We're playing pretty good. We need to make that next push, and we will.
All right, maybe this will help you. Who knows?
Yeah, let's go.
Does that not wake you up or what? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Giancarlo Stanton. How big was he last night out in San Diego, California? Beautiful San Diego, California, I might add. Of course, that is where the MLB All-Star Game will be taking place tonight. And of course, the pre-festivities include the Home Run Derby. You know, I sit back every single year watching it, and it was fun last night, I must say, especially as it got down to the nitty-gritty between Todd Frazier of the Chicago White Sox and Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton certainly deserves this music montage, I tell you that. Rocky, gotta love Rocky. You know, and I sat back first. I gotta call this man out right now, because as that montage began to start today's show, I immediately get a buzz in my ear that, Al, I feel like I'm in a spaceship. I'm like, yeah, you've never heard this song? And I'm like, Isaac, you know this song. Of course, I'm talking about our engineer, Isaac Constance. I'm like, Isaac, you know this montage. And he's like, I probably do. I probably do. And I'm like, hold on. This is a man who is probably the most notorious Rocky film hater I've ever met in my life. And I'm like, hold on. I forgot who yes, I was sir. Talking to. You don't know this montage, because this is from Rocky IV, when Rocky fought the Russian. And that was the highlight, you know, the training montage. So I'm like, yeah, Isaac wouldn't know this. But
oh, no, I know the classic one, but I stopped watching after Rocky I. I didn't think it was worth continuation.
Stop it. You're about to have hate calls up here in a second, all right,
oh, too late.
And speaking of calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call, but Giancarlo Stanton was absolutely stellar last night. He had a rocky performance last night, folks. Again, 61 total home runs were hit by his bat last night out in California. The most in home run derby history. How crazy is that? The only one that comes close when you look at history here, Bobby Abreu held the record actually at what? In 2005, and he had a mark of actually 41. So Stanton hits double that with 61. That's 20 more homers. Now that's crazy stuff right there. So congratulations to Giancarlo Stanton. And here's some food for thought for you. He's a three-time All-Star, and this is a man who did not make the National League All-Star roster this year. So if you enjoyed what you saw last night, you will not get a chance to see it tonight as the MLB All-Star Game will get underway. For the year so far, in just the first half of the season with the Miami Marlins, Stanton had a .233 batting average with 20 homers and 50 RBIs. Not on the NL roster, though. He is the highest paid player in baseball. Crazy, right? With a $325 million deal. Again, I'm going to say that again. That's nuts. That blew my mind when I read that. $325 million throughout the course of 13 years with the Marlins. Gotta love baseball. You know, if I have a little Al, he's going to be on the diamond. I tell you that. There is no salary cap in Major League Baseball. So you can pay your players as much as you want, all right, without breaking the bank, so to speak. And get this, his hitting coach, I'm gonna throw this out there. Isaac, guess who Stanton's hitting coach is? I know I'm putting you on the spot with this one, but I'll give you a hint. He was the talk of the town when it came to home runs, and then something happened. A scandal happened that totally changed the perception of this guy.
Go say Mark McGwire?
No. Earlier on than Mark McGwire. Not that far back. Not that far back.
Huh. Sammy Sosa?
Nope. No, that's still the same era. Still the same era. I'll give you a hint. San Francisco Giants.
Oh, Barry Bonds.
Bam.
Easy.
Barry Bonds is his hitting coach. How crazy is that, right? 61 homers, though. That takes some stamina. Now, I must admit, though, I must admit, and I want to throw this question out to our listeners. I must admit that I'm not the biggest all-star, MLB all-star guy. You know, I checked out the home run derby last night, of course. It's always fun to watch. But I wasn't watching during the early rounds. I actually was watching, I was watching a movie. Creed. I was watching Creed last night. Speaking of Rocky, right? I was watching Creed last night, and I got a notification on my phone that Stanton and Frazier were going to go at it in the finals, and that's when I flipped over. So I saw Stanton hit those 20 homers in the final round, but I wasn't watching rounds 1, 2, 3, however many rounds that led up to the final bout between Frazier and Stanton. Because, you know, I've watched so many home run derbies over the years, and don't get me wrong, the home run derby is cool because you get to see these guys who have just a knack, just a God-given talent to knock the ball out the park. And we saw some of Stanton's homers last night. I mean, oh my goodness, his longest shot was an estimated 497 feet. He hit the 8th longest homers of the competition and 20 of the 21 deepest drives when you take into account every homer that was hit last night. Stanton has got some power. So it's always fun to watch these players flex their respective muscle every single year. But I must say, folks, MLB All-Star, you know, the 2 days, and I think this puts you in perspective as well, because immediately after the home run derby, what comes on the air? Just take a guess, folks. What comes on the air? The celebrity game comes on after the home run derby. So it's not like they aired the celebrity game first, which was pretty cool watching Jamie Foxx and you had Terry Crews and you had a bunch of cool celebrities that they played last night in the game. But, you know, shouldn't the home run derby be your main attraction? Shouldn't that be what leads into ESPN SportsCenter? But no, it was a celebrity game that led right into ESPN SportsCenter. So ideally, they're saying that that's not our main attraction. That's not our main attraction the night before the MLB All-Star game. So, and I think that kind of puts it in perspective. And when watching the celebrity game, I watched half of that before hitting the sack. You know, after the first inning, it's so funny because I think this puts a lot of things in perspective as well. But after that first inning, they went to commercial. And before the commercial hits, they had every single celebrity sitting down, staring at the camera. And then the words, "Why should you watch?" pop up. And then you have all these celebrities saying why you should watch their celebrity game and the All-Star game tomorrow night. So I'm curious, maybe our PA behind the glass, Seth Kinker, can look up this, but I'm curious to know what the ratings were of last night's home run derby. Now, I'm curious to know what the ratings are for the Major League All-Star game period, you know, on an average basis. I'm curious to see what those numbers look like in comparison to the NBA All-Star weekend, which I think is clearly, I think the NBA has it down pat when it comes to the best All-Star weekend. The Pro Bowl, who watches the NFL Pro Bowl? Nobody.
The worst.
Nobody. And those guys are going half speed anyway because what we're knowing about concussions and so on and so forth, who's going to go full speed out there in a game that doesn't even matter? I do like the MLB All-Star game when it comes to this. At least the NL and AL are playing for something. You know, they're playing for home field advantage at the end of the day. NBA All-Star game is just like, you know, it's like the N1 mixtape tour. No one plays defense. You know, guys are out there just throwing down dunks. It starts to get sort of competitive in like the final stanza in the fourth quarter. So the MLB All-Star Game may have an edge when it comes to that. But as far as an overall just weekend, you may have to give it to the NBA. At least, and I may be biased here because I'm a big NBA guy, but I think overall you're not beating the NBA All-Star Weekend.
For a weekend itself, I also give it to the NBA. Actually, you know what? I actually might switch that around immediately and give it to the MLB. I actually like the All-Star Game because, like you mentioned, there is something on the line. Both teams are going hard, and it's a cool event how they also alternate the pitchers when it comes to the game, so it's not very one-sided. You get to see a bunch of other guys on the mound, and it's a fair assortment of players, and I'm crazy about the Home Run Derby. I am not a diehard baseball fan by any means. I can't sit through a full 3.5-hour game until it's September. But at the same time, the Home Run Derby, nothing is done better. And I think this new format, which they adopted last year, adds to it even more. Giancarlo Stanton was the guy who I was rooting for in the festivities of last night. And boy, seeing him hit 64% of his homers over 440 feet. That's 39 homers over 440 feet. And they had a rule installed, as I'm sure you know, that if you hit two homers over 440 feet in a round, then you get 30 seconds of bonus time.
Oh, yeah, the bonus time.
To add to your
total. I saw
that,
right.
Some guys couldn't even get bonus time. This guy hit 39 of them.
You're right.
I mean, that fact just dumbfounds me still. 39. So I thought it was a great performance. Petco Park is not even a hitter's park traditionally.
It's not. No, it's not.
And for Stanton to come out and do that, yeah, I love the Home Run Derby. I love having something on the line. I agree that the TV scheduling is so stupid. The celebrity game afterwards.
Why? Can you explain that? Why did they have the celebrity game right after the
Derby? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, too. I think the celebrity game is played beforehand.
Yeah, they pre-tape
aired
it.
Afterwards.
Yeah, they pre-tape it so that they can fit it in the time slot to where it ends at a specific time, going right into SportsCenter. So I didn't understand
it's
that.
Terrible.
At
and
all.
Chuck Barkley. You know, I mean.
Right? But yeah, it was pretty cool watching your boy Drew Brees first pitch just knocks a home run out the park. I'm like, dude, that was pretty impressive. But yeah, I don't get it. So what is your favorite All-Star weekend? And I agree with you, Isaac. As far as game goes, you got to go with the MLB because you're playing for something. It's competitive. The NBA All-Star game can be a snooze throughout the first three quarters. I mean, it's just watching a bunch of guys throw up highlight dunks and so on and so forth. But as far as an overall weekend, NBA wins that hands down. So what's your favorite NBA what's your favorite All-Star weekend period in sports? Call in 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527. Now we will get to the discussion that many of you out there had been waiting for, Mr. Draymond Green. Of course, Day-Day, former Michigan State hoop star, now with the Golden State Warriors. He is an NBA champion, he is an NBA All-Star, and he is slated to be a part of the Olympic team out in Rio de Janeiro this summer. But news broke this past weekend that Draymond Green was arrested on Sunday morning on assault charges right here in East Lansing, Michigan. It is news that is a headline on pretty much every major sports publication I can find online. ESPN has it plastered on its top headlines. Yahoo Sports has it plastered on its top headlines. TMZ Sports plastered on its top headlines. And the same goes for Sports Illustrated. And speaking of TMZ, they actually even had a video that was posted yesterday of Draymond Green being escorted by two police officers in handcuffs downtown East Lansing right next to Conrad's Grill. So here's what we know right now. Again, he was arrested early Sunday morning, downtown EL. We do know that there is a man involved in the altercation in which Draymond is said to have slapped. There were police nearby that saw the incident, so it's not like someone called the cops here. There was police nearby that saw the incident, and they acted accordingly. They arrested Draymond Green, and the records indicate that Green posted $200 bail and that his arraignment was scheduled for July, or I should say is scheduled for July 20th. However, his attorney on Monday waived Green's right to an arraignment. Now, in doing so, Green acknowledges that he understands the charges that he does face and the possible penalties if he is found guilty. He also avoids having to attend an arraignment in person. So that saves him as far as the whole Olympic conversation is concerned. Because, I mean, the Olympics are taking place very, very soon here. At the end of the month, many athletes from our great nation will be making that trip to Brazil to compete. Now, Green's attorney did not respond to multiple messages, according to the Lansing State Journal. If convicted, Green faces a maximum penalty of 93 days in jail, a $500 fine, or even both. Again, Green scheduled to attend Team USA's basketball training out in Las Vegas on July 18th to the 21st. And then additional training and exhibitions are scheduled through August 1st with Olympic competition set actually for next month, August 6th through the 21st out in Brazil. I want to throw this out there as well, because as this story has unfolded, there is a name that is rumored to have been a part of this whole altercation. This football player for the Michigan State football team, his name is been thrown out there countless times. Actually, when I tweeted out the story, I got an immediate tweet from one of our dedicated listeners, TJ Sigerlin. And he tweeted me and said, quote, Edmondson better not get any 15-yard taunting penalties this year, end quote. That's coming via my Twitter page. And the Edmondson that he's talking about is Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson. It's rumored that Edmondson is the football player, is the man who taunted Draymond Green, which led to Draymond responding and then getting arrested. Again, that is rumored. I have not seen that reported by any publication, but that is on the rumor mill right now throughout the area, that Jermaine Edmondson of the MSU football team is tied to this. Is it true or not? I don't know. I'm putting it out there. It's that's rumored right now. So, first off, I want to say this, Isaac. I think this story has been tremendously overblown to the 100th power. This is a conversation more so of status and not situation. Draymond Green is a star, a budding star in the National Basketball Association. This is a man who has won an NBA championship. This is a man who was named on the NBA All-Star team. This is a man who was on Foot Locker commercials. I mean, this is a man whose brand is pretty prevalent in today's league right now. Anytime you hear the word arrest attached with an all-star, no matter what sport it is, it's going to get attention, whether it be just or not. Again, this was an altercation that happened. This is, I don't know why Draymond, it's a two-edged sword here. I do believe that the story has been overblown and is getting way too much attention. But I understand why it's getting attention, because this is Draymond Green we're talking about, a household name in the NBA. But on the flip side of that, Draymond has got to be smarter than that. Got to be smarter than that, dude. I think Draymond is a guy who just really, really quickly his name has just blown up in the NBA. I mean, in the last 2 years, we're talking about Draymond, especially this past season. You know, we can go back to the fines that he got, you know, and I'm looking, you know, not even sports publications are not just reporting on Draymond Green now. You start to see entertainment, you know, publications report on Draymond Green now. Anytime you reach that status, you know that your name and brand is building. And I don't think that Draymond understood in that moment just how much weight his name carries. When you start to become a popular athlete like that, when you start to become an all-star and you're on commercials and you're making all of this money, you have to conduct yourself and hang out with a different crowd. You can't just flip out because you're being taunted by somebody. You can't just say, oh, I'm about to slap you. No, he could maybe do that when he was back, maybe a ball player at Michigan State University. But no, I mean, when you are on that platform, you have to conduct yourself differently. And I think this is a wake-up call for Draymond. I don't think we'll see him in the news for something like this ever again, to be honest with you. That's just not who Draymond is. I mean, I was reading an article earlier today that when Draymond Green was here at Michigan State, he had no problems. Like, the biggest problem that Draymond Green had here in East Lansing was a speeding ticket.
A couple, but come on, man. So have I. Yeah.
How many speeding tickets have I had throughout my life? You know what I mean? I've had about four. You know what I mean? The thing is, I'm not Draymond Green. I mean, that's not publicized to the public. So I think this would be a wake-up call for Draymond Green. And I think with all of the attention that this story is getting, I think that it makes Draymond reflect on just how big he is right now in today's sporting realm. So I'm wishing the dude luck. I think he will still be on an Olympic team. This isn't that big, if you ask me. He'll still be competing in the Olympics on that Olympic squad, and I think we'll quickly forget about this in maybe 3 or 4 months.
I hope so, because this is nothing. If it was a punch, that's something. But there is a big difference when two men are fighting or exchanging words between a punch and a slap. You know that. I mean, a punch and a slap is all the difference in the word. And right. I think
a slap may be more disrespectful.
It may be more disrespectful
than a punch. But yeah,
it's kind of comical. But it's not a punch.
I'm not letting no grown man just slap me. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Come on, man. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
But yeah, you're not going to knock somebody out with a punch. I don't think a punch is as malicious. It's more like a LeBron James, I'm going to step over you and see how you react type move. And of course, we know how Draymond reacts when he's put into a situation of duress. And I think there are a few hypotheticals, though, in this situation. One is, like you mentioned, the whole fame complex. If Draymond Green was not widely considered a top 10 NBA player right now, he would not be getting this much attention. If he was not so boisterous and loud, he would not be getting this much attention. Look at Jahlil Okafor for the Philadelphia 76ers. Made news his first 2 weeks in the NBA for getting involved in actually a series of bar fights.
Caught on video.
It was. Draymond's was not caught on video. It's a single incident. It's not a fight. It's a slap in an altercation. And yet this gets tons more traction and attention. I think the fame is one side of it. The other part of it, I think, is not a media agenda, I don't want to say, but anytime you have the chance to get views by portraying somebody a certain way because you find something or reveal something, a media company, especially like TMZ, is going to do that. Draymond Green's multiple fines and suspension throughout the course of the playoffs and the denoting of him as a dirty player, I think adds to this so much.
Oh, it does.
People want to see Draymond off the court like they do on the court. And to be honest, a slap, like I said, maybe it's disrespectful, but that's nothing. And I think this is totally blown out of proportion. I can see why, like you, but at the same time, come on, it's a slap. It's a slap.
Yeah, and I think that Draymond, he has to learn, though, you can't react that way. You know, and this is a guy who I'm sure, when he's out there on the hardwood, he probably gets so much flack from fans left and right. And you let just a little MSU football player just provoke you into acting like that. You know what I mean? So he's going to learn from it. This is something that is going to go away quickly, I believe. And we'll quickly move on from it. But right now, it's, you know how us sports talk guys get in the summertime.
We're bored.
We're bored, dude. You know, just a bunch of baseball talk every day, and we're reaching, you know. But and a story like this just plops down, and it's like, oh, my goodness, that's sports talk heaven right there. But at the same time, we are sympathetic here on Current Sports. And, you know, I covered Draymond Green when I was a rookie intern at Channel 6 News here in the area, and he was a student. We actually crossed the same stage at the Breslin Center back in May of 2012. And got to see him cross the stage and dapped him up. So I'm wishing Draymond well. This will quickly go away, and I really hope he learns from it. Yeah, I think he will
learn from it. So, and I'm curious to know what Tom Izzo thinks of this whole ordeal. We're going to try to get him in the show in the recent weeks. So, call in, folks. What do you think about the whole Draymond Green story? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will hand out our grade for the first half of the season for the Detroit Tigers. And we will also talk about Mr. Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about another Warrior here on the show. Steph is charging a ridiculous amount of money for kids to play in his hoop camp. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Again, folks, the MLB All-Star Game will take place tonight at 7:10 p.m. Well, excuse me, 8 p.m. Is the start time for that All-Star Game. And there will be one lone Tiger that will be playing for the American League. That, of course, Miguel Cabrera. So congrats to Miggy, the Lone Tiger, who was named to the MLB All-Star team this year. And I want to sort of pick up a conversation that we had on yesterday's show concerning the Detroit Tigers really limping into the All-Star break. The Tigers are coming off a series against the Tampa Bay Rays, the Toronto Blue Jays, in which they lost 3 of 4 on a 4-game set to close out an 11-game road trip. And looking at a few numbers here, I want to bring up three names in particular who just had a horrid outing to close out that first half of the year. Ian Kinsler went 1-for-4 on Sunday in that final game against the Blue Jays in which the Tigers lost 6-1. R.A. Dickey was on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays, 1-for-4. He went 3-of-15 during the series and 10-of-41 over that 11-game road trip. For Miguel Cabrera, again, all-star in the American League, 1-for-4, same statistic as Kinsler. On Sunday, he went 3-of-16 for the series and 8-of-36 on the road trip. Victor Martinez, 0-of-4, could not get a hit on Sunday. 1-of-15 for the series, 8-of-42 on the road trip. And don't even get me started on Anibal Sanchez, who took the mound for the Tigers on Sunday in that loss. With the loss, Sanchez dropped to 5-10. He allowed 5 runs on 8 hits over 4 innings. He has allowed 22 runs over 16 1/3 innings of work in his last 4 starts. So when you do the math, that's a 6.75 earned run average over 82 2/3 total innings. And he has lost his last 7 starts. After that game, Sanchez talked to the media and said, quote, "This is probably the worst first half of my career," end quote. And putting that quote in perspective, when you look at Sanchez's history on the mound, he signed a 5-year, $80 million contract with the Tigers. If you remember back in 2012, he went 14-8 and led the American League with a really nice 2.57 ERA back in 2013. So, you know, he's won 23 games over the last 2.5 years. But right now, with an ERA close to 7, again, a 5-year, $80 million deal is sounding pretty overpaid as we speak. So we all know about the woes for the Tigers during this first half of the year. This is a team that currently is three games over the 500 mark. They sit second in the American League Central. And to be honest with you all, I really don't think there's any team out there that is going to catch the Cleveland Indians. The Indians right now are a stout ball club from top to bottom. They have a great lineup. They have great starting pitching. They have a great bullpen. They've got great chemistry. Everyone is chasing the Cleveland Indians right now. But I do believe that this little break right here for the All-Star is much needed for the Tigers. Because I really believe that they look tired out there. Watching them on Sunday, I mean, guys just seemed a stepping back of the Blue Jays. So, you know, for me, I want to give out a grade here, a first half grade for the Tigers. If I had to give a grade for Brad Ausmus's team, who, man, he's a lucky man just to even have a job right now, because everyone was calling for the head of Ausmus, went like 2 months into the year. I would have to say that the Tigers deserve a C-, Isaac. That's what I would give them. I think that's being kind. You know, C was average when I was coming up in school, okay? And the minus for me, it signifies a below average mark. You know what I mean? But I think that's being generous, just because the Tigers are very fortunate to only sit, to sit, in second place. They're just second in the American League Central. That could be a lot worse, a lot worse.
Could be a lot worse, but I think that's harsh.
You think that's harsh?
Minus?
Oh, yeah. So what are you giving them?
I mean, if we're going average would be around 500, more or less,
yeah,
just by the rules of the game. So the Tigers are three games above 500 right now.
No, I think that's the wrong way to put that in perspective when discussing sports.
I'd say a C+.
Third grade, cool, but not in the world. And the reason why I say that is because when you compare that record to the rest of the league, that's a dismal record, Isaac. It doesn't look that great. Does not look that. The Tigers right now are no conversation to win the American League Central. They have some sort of solace in knowing that they are second in the division. But that division isn't that great. I mean, we're talking about the Kansas City Royals at 45-43. The White Sox with the same record, and let's not even discuss the Minnesota Twins. But, you know, the Tigers right now could be a lot better than what they are.
Well, the Tigers, though, nobody's going to touch the Indians. The Indians have been so far gone. Sitting second above Kansas City.
We're talking wild card.
I think that's decent.
When we discuss the Tigers, we're talking wild card.
Yes, of course we are. But we'd be talking wild card whether you plug in the Orioles, whether you plug in the Los Angeles Dodgers, the St. Louis Cardinals, teams that we think of as good teams, the Miami Marlins. All of those are wild cards. For the Tigers to be in that discussion, that's not that bad. I think the Tigers' struggles in many ways have been blown out of proportion because of their struggles at the start of the season. What happens with the Tigers, and the reason I give them a C+, is because they're 45
hold on,
and 42.
Isaac. You do all that jive and then give them just one mark above mine?
Two marks.
I was debating
between a B- and a C+.
Okay.
But, you know, so right around an 80, something like that, 80 of 100. But the thing is, I don't think the Tigers are quite as good as everyone else does. Everybody's saying, with this talent, they should be competing with the World Series. I don't think that whatsoever. I think this is a team who frequently has abandoned their priorities when it comes to the bullpen pitching. I think Ausmus, as I've said before, has done a decent job of shifting around those pitchers with what he was given. Francisco Rodriguez has been consistent. The rookies have been impressive. Michael Fulmer has been nothing less than spectacular. And Jordan Zimmermann, despite injuries, is keep plowing along.
He's teetered off.
You know, he has teetered off, but
has not been great as of late.
That's why Brad Ausmus has had to adjust. I think the Tigers have taken care of the teams that they have to, but then they stumble and lose to teams that are better than them, such as the Toronto Blue Jays, such as the Cleveland Indians. So for that team, it's right around average, but by beating the teams that you need to beat, it does assert you in that wild card race. And you know, I don't think that's below average whatsoever.
Yeah, but you look at the wild card race for this team. I just don't see there's no hope when looking at this team to say, okay, this is the reason why they're going to turn around. I mean, they're competing against, if you look at the way the wild card standing set up right now in the American League, right now, the Boston Red Sox and a team that the Tigers just lost to heading into the All-Star break. They lost 3 of 4 to this team, as I mentioned, the Toronto Blue Jays. They sit as the top two teams in that discussion right now. You have the Houston Astros, who are 2 games in back of those two, the Tigers at 4. Then you have the Royals, White Sox, 2 teams that are in the American League Central, right in back of the Tigers at 4.5 games in back. So I don't think that the Tigers will earn a wild card spot. I don't see the Tigers making the playoffs this year. I've let that be known. That's not new
Nor
news
do
here. I mean, they're not catching. I don't think they're catching the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox are a better team. And I'm a big fan of Mookie Betts. Love that kid. He's probably my new favorite player in Major League Baseball right now. The Toronto Blue Jays, I think they're a solid team overall. I just don't see the Tigers making a rally here in the second half. Now, the reason why I have to disagree with you, Isaac, from the standpoint of expectation when you evaluate this Detroit Tigers roster is because when you do look at this roster on paper, I mean, again, it was another year where we looked at the roster and said, this is a roster that should compete for a World Series, especially with the additions for the team, like you mentioned, with Jordan Zimmermann, with Francisco Rodriguez, who started off a bit shaky to start the season. You looked at this roster and said, this is a roster that will compete. Now, they had some unfortunate circumstances when it comes to the injury bug. That's why this break is so timely for this team. Mm-hmm. And how big has Cameron Maben been? I mean, you can make an argument, with the exception of Michael Fulmer, that if I had to name an MVP for this team right now, in taking Fulmer out the equation, it may be between Kinsler and Cameron Maben. Despite
341.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, he's unbelievable. I mean,
I know.
Cameron, I mean, just imagine if he would have started the year healthy. And we got a chance to interview Maben at the Lansing State Journal headquarters when the Tigers caravan came through, and he was by far, and I think you will agree with Isaac, by far our favorite interview. He's charismatic. He's out. He wants to work. I mean, he's a sponge. He's just a great personality to have on a baseball roster.
You want him in your locker room, and you love obviously him. Want him on your field too. Batting 341, like I said, he was not brought in for his batting. He was known as a bun it once in a while and then get you a couple steals.
He's not a
guy.
Big bat. He's not a guy who's going to hit home runs, but he's a guy who's going to get you a single.
Yeah.
Going to get you a double here and there. You know what I mean? He's a great base runner.
He is.
I mean, how many times have we seen Cameron Maben steal a base?
And the other thing is, it looked like going into this year, the outfield was kind of set. And Cameron Maben was not a part of that equation whatsoever. But with J.D. Martinez injuries, somebody's had to step up over there, and that's Justin Upton, who's been disappointing as well. But then in center field, Anthony Gose, totally displaced by Cameron Maben. And now Anthony Gose, who was predicted to be one of the Tigers' mainstays within that team, or at least regularly competing with a bunch of other outfielders for a spot, including Upton and Martinez, and then Maben, I guess, as well. Instead, Maben's took that spot all single-handedly. It's his to lose, and I don't think he's going to with the way that he's been batting, fielding, base running, and just leading this team to a little bit of a comeback.
Yeah, but at the same time, this team is just way too inconsistent. That's why I'm going with the C-minus here. The Tigers' starting pitching has to be better. They have to deliver more consistent outings and not put the bullpen in a situation where they have to essentially bail the team out. The batting has been horrible. That 11-game home stretch, I mean, that 11-game road trip, excuse me, was tough to watch.
Yeah.
It was certainly tough to watch. And I do believe that fatigue had a lot to do with that. So we'll see. After the break, the Tigers will get back in action on Friday and will open up a series at home at Comerica against the Kansas City Royals. First game, first pitch set for 7:10 p.m. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat about Steph Curry. Dollar bill, y'all, if y'all want to be a part of his basketball camp. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Get this, folks. Steph Curry, guard, superstar in the National Basketball Association for the Golden State Warriors, back-to-back MVP. He has received a ton of criticism as of late. Now, this article is actually coming from Yahoo Sports, and he's receiving criticism for charging kids $2,000 to $2,250 for his basketball camp in Hawaii over the July 4th weekend. Now, he's even received criticism, not just from the public for this move, but even, you know, players from other sports, like Seattle Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett, who slammed Curry for charging kids that ridiculous amount of moolah to attend his basketball camp in Hawaii. Bennett, a Super Bowl champ for the NFL's 2013 season and Pro Bowler in 2015, he lives in Hawaii during the offseason and does not charge for his annual football clinic, the fourth of which was held this past Saturday with 700 children in attendance. Bennett took serious issue with the high cost of Curry's camp and many other athletes who come through Hawaii for similar, you know, expensive events for children. Now, Curry has not responded to Bennett directly, but a Monday post on his Instagram hints that he saw the criticism in a message promoting his brother Seth's camp in Ventura County, which is north of Los Angeles, California. Curry pointed out that the new Dallas Mavericks guard offers a much cheaper alternative. So basically, Curry is saying, hey, if you don't want to pay the $2,000 to attend my camp, go to my brother, Seth's. He's only charging $200. I have a big problem with this, Isaac, because I've been covering basketball camps. One of my very first assignments as a sports intern was to cover a basketball camp. It was actually Al Horford. Al Horford is from the Grand Ledge area, of course, balled out for the Grand Ledge Comets. And Al Horford has a camp that he throws every single year for about a weekend where he comes out and, you know, him alongside his family and his brother John, they host a camp for about 4 days. They don't charge the kids really. I think about when at the time I did the story, I believe they charged them, but it was something really, really cheap, something small. And, you know, the kids got to go through drills and learn the game of basketball. They were motivated with speakers. I actually got a chance to speak at a basketball camp. This is 3 years ago at Steve Fenimore's basketball camp. Steve Fenimore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, former team assistant for the 2000 Michigan State men's national championship team under Tom Izzo. Steve invited me out to talk to the kids at his basketball camp at East Lansing High. And I'm not sure if Steve charges, but you better believe it's not $2,000 for the kids to attend. And I've even seen, you know, a few other camps in the city of Detroit that are held each and every year that are totally free for the kids. And heck, Current Sports is directly involved as a sponsor with a football camp by the great James Moore of SWAP. Speaking with a Purpose, the SWAP Impact Campaign. James holds a football camp every single summer for kids to come out. And I don't know, like the stipend is like, what, $20-$30 per kid. And they come and they get to, you know, learn football drills throughout the weekend. I have never in my life heard of charging a young kid $2,000 to $2,250. And Steph doesn't need the money, okay? This it ain't like this dude is broke, all right? We're talking about a superstar in the NBA. So I don't understand why Steph Curry is charging kids that amount of money to come to a camp to learn, you know, how to pivot and how to shoot a jump shot. Just to learn the game. These are kids at the end of the day. And you would think that a guy like Curry, it really surprised me when I heard the story, because Curry is a dude who has a pretty good resume of helping the community out, of being, you know, this squeaky clean, just uber classy personality guy, which I think changed a little bit in the finals. That's a whole nother subject for a different day. But, you know, he's known for giving back and just being a humble dude. To charge a kid $2,000 is morally wrong, Isaac. I don't care what someone has to argue on the contrary.
I've got to argue on the contrary.
Please do. Oh, I got to hear this.
What I think
go ahead.
Is it's his camp. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody's forcing you to go. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying go to Steph Curry's camp. It's for the rich kids. Rich kids who want to go to Hawaii, get a gourmet meal in addition to a nice basketball camp. I've got no problem if some parents want to spend that money. I don't think that's the purpose of basketball camps.
That's not the argument. You hear what I said? Morally, that's the key word here. Morally, for the guy that you are and the platform that you have in the National Basketball Association, you're making millions of dollars every single year.
You don't need
that. You're charging kids $2,000 to come to your basketball camp. Morally, I have a problem with that.
But
dude.
Morally, Steph Curry does more for the league and more for the game of basketball and for kids in general than so many superstars. I think this is just a turning tide. I mean, at the end of the day, NBA players regularly receive millions and millions of dollars of contracts and don't give any of it back. That's just how some operate, and I'm cool with that. That's your money. At the end of the day, I don't have a problem with trying to take advantage of your status, make a little bit more money off of people who have too much money in the first place. Nobody who's impoverished is going to this camp. This is just rich parents paying for their rich kids.
Isaac,
that's fine.
That's grimy, dude. What about the little kid who lives in the urban community wants to attend that camp? I'm not talking about the rich kids here. I'm talking about just kids
but
in general across the board.
I agree. This
is a man who clearly doesn't need another paycheck. He's a millionaire, and you're charging a kid $2,000 to go to camp.
But
you know what I mean? What about
the kid in Detroit?
I did too.
Yeah.
What about the kid in Detroit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who idolizes your game and would love the opportunity to work with you and meet you in person. What about that kid? It's about providing opportunities for everybody, not just the rich kids out there. And that's
the
problem.
I'm not saying that in the first place. I'm saying
he's trying to take
the thing
advantage.
Is,
he's trying to take advantage of this platform, dude.
It excludes certain people because of the price range, but
which is wrong.
You can say that,
totally
but that's
wrong.
The case with so many things. Nice things require money a lot of the time.
Is that right? No.
I'm not saying it's right or I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying Steph Curry should not be castigated individually for charging a lot of money for a basketball camp. Tons of people do this.
My argument is those people who do that are totally wrong.
I would love it if everybody gave it up.
You should never charge a kid that much to come to a dang basketball camp, especially when you are of that status.
But at the end of the day, $200 for his brother Seth is too much, too. $200 is too much.
I agree
with you there.
I agree with that as well.
I wouldn't pay that.
I don't care. Yeah, if you $50, $20, cool. You know what I mean? Anytime you start hitting triple digits, dude, and beyond, that's a problem.
I wouldn't pay it. But if somebody wants to pay it, that's their prerogative.
I guess from a business perspective, as a shiesty businessman, cool. But from a moral character standpoint, that's wrong, dude. All right, we are out of time. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll try to get Jim Burns on for you guys. Again, he was the individual who supported the Chad Tough campaign, walked from Philly to Ann Arbor. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a good one. Be easy, people.